Blog Talk Radio.
Tempted by the sins of life, the pleasures of lust, the wild imaginings that you can't discuss. Oh, the flesh is weak, it's a struggle for peace. It's a daily conflict between man and beast. We strive for God and a better tomorrow, still suffering from the unforgettable sorrow. Repent from thy sins, son, and walk ye straight. Stop talking all that trash, boy, and walk ye straight. Afflicted by the pressures of life at every vital point. Still, I wouldn't give a oint or flinch an inch or pinch a pinch off the pie or ever try to try your winch. Confronted by the devil himself and stay strong. You think you can take the king that meet calm? Strong as the base of a mountain. There's no counting how many MCs have sprung from my fountain. 50,000 year process to make this combination. I'm not giving mine away to Satan. Although I know that he's awaiting to get a hold of my biochemical equation. I'ma slip him, son. I'ma dip him, son. When I catch the drop on him, I'ma clip him, son. 50,000 year process to make this combination. 99 elements, biochemical manifestation. I'm not giving mine away to Satan. Although I know that he's awakened. I'ma slip him, son. I'ma dip him, son. When I catch the drop on him, I'ma clip him, son.
Bedrock, straight to the head with the pet rock. At least till I can get from out this booth, it's like a sweat box. Trade a few bars of head nodding, throw us a stack. Pay them and it's sold up like thread and bobbin bonus pack. Invest in the first B-boy kid show. Live off Skid Row with Jive talking Negroes. He wear his beard like a frizzly haired grizzly and kept his appearances exquisitely rare. Where is he? Busy in your backyard or on your front porch. Or standing in the corner of the club with the blunt torch. It's off. They say he rhyme like he's starving. And sold odds and bobs since the old gods and goblins. Golly, adjust a pest and your worst best friend. Who mend and rip space-time fabric like polyester blend. Not a hobby for no knobby knee. Lesser men are sloppy like the rest of them. Then floppy need estrogen.
Yo, yo, 50,000 year process to make this combination. I'm not giving mine away to Satan. Although I know that he's awaiting to get a hold of my biochemical equation. I'ma slip him, son. I'ma dip him, son. When I catch a drop on him, I'ma clip him, son. 50,000 year process to make this combination. 99 elements, biochemical manifestation. I'm not giving mine away to Satan. Although I know that he's awakened. I'ma slip him, son. I'ma dip him, son. When I catch the drop on him, I'ma clip him, son.
Ever seen my pockets like 69 billion in the last
20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key. A 5 minute sentence here and then you're no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone, so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right, you are not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror dome. Full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens of prison greens facing life numbers. Crack mothers, crack babies, and AIDS patients. Young blood can't spell, but they could rock you a PlayStation. Snoop Mav is whipping motherfuckers' ass. You wanna know how to rhyme? You better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
Mighty Mos Def.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here? Mighty Mos Def.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Two sides to every story, three strikes and you're bitten for life, mandatory. Four MCs murdered in the last 4 years. I ain't trying to be the fifth when the millennium is here. So it's 6 million ways to die from the 7 deadly thrills. 8-year-olds getting found with 9 mils. It's 10 p.m. where you see that. What's the deal? They on the hill pumping grills to keep their bellies filled. Lighting the ass with heavy steel. Sights on the pretty shit in life. Young soldiers trying to earn their next strike. When the average minimum wage is 5.15, you best believe you gotta find a new grind to get cream. The white unemployment rate is nearly more than triple for black. Frontliners got their gun in your back. Bubble and crack. Jewels up in robbery to combat poverty and end up in the global jail economy. Stiffer stipulations attached to each sentence. Budget cutbacks but increased police presence. And even if you get out of prison, still living, join the other 5 million under state supervision. This is business. No faces, just lines and statistics. From your phone, your zip code, to SSI digits. The system break man channeling women in the figures. Two columns for who is and who ain't niggas. Numbers is hard and real and they never have feelings. But you push too hard, even numbers got limits. Why the one straw break the camel's back? Here's the secret. The million other straws underneath it. It's all mathematics.
Mighty Mos Def.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here? Mighty Mos Def.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Mathematics.
And today's mathematics is on Washitor, Law, and Jurisprudence. Let's go to the phone lines in order to bring my co-host, Brother Olabala. Are you here, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Peace, God.
Peace, God. How you doing tonight? Let me
bring
on my co-host, Grand Sheik, Brother R.L. Are you here?
Greetings, brother. How you doing? Peace, God.
Doing well, God. How you doing? Grand Sheik,
Very well. Very well, Brother Olabala.
Yes, sir. Yeah, back again.
Yes, sir,
back
brother.
Again with some crazy science.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
So,
ready.
Yeah, so let's get into this book. It's called The Creature from Jackal Island by G. Edward Griffin. Yeah, The Creature from Jackal Island. Right? This is the second look at the Federal Reserve. We spoke about the Federal Reserve and how they owned you, you know, last week. But this week, we're going to go a little bit deeper. So it's going to be called The Creature from Jackal Island. All right? Written by G. Edward Griffin. Now, it's real simple. What was passed at Jackal Island basically was the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank, actually. You know, always known as the Fed, you know, which was the central banking system of the United States. It was created, I think it's December 23rd, 1913. With the enactment of the Federal Reserve Act.
Right.
So we want to talk about some of these players. Now, there's a United States Supreme Court case law from 1982. It's called Lewis versus United States. Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Lewis versus United States, 680 F.2D 1239. And basically, the court rules that the Federal Reserve is privately owned. That was that particular case. So let's get into who owned it, behind some of it, because you know that Thomas Jefferson warned us. And for those who don't know, if you get the five Negro presidents or the six black president by Sister Arcette, and the five Negro presidents by J. Rogers, they go into the fact that Thomas Jefferson actually was a Moor, right? And that John Adams claims that Thomas Jefferson was the son of a half-breed Indian squaw, you know what I'm saying, and a Virginia mulatto farmer.
Okay.
All right. So therefore, excuse, you know, so we have to excuse the Europeanized painting in which that we have seen of Thomas Jefferson. All right. So Jefferson was basically telling us if the American people ever allowed the private banks to control the issuing of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up around them and they will deprive the people of all their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
Why?
Right, so that was an interesting quote.
Yes, it was.
Now, we know that in it was around, October 1907, that several banking firms basically got together. Like, one was called the Knickerbocker Trust Company of New York, in which that collapsed as, you know, funds was being withdrawn. And because of fear and unwise investment and the misuse of money, there was lines of people waiting for the front, at the front doors of the Knickerbocker bank to close, you know, to find out that their bank accounts was closed. And days later, the Trust Company of America had droves of those who deposit money, removing their money. And then shortly thereafter, a run took place at the Lincoln Trust Company. And across the country, panic basically continued. And so they was trying to find a way in order to stop the spread of this panic in which that was occurring. So in the fall of 1907, the United States, which was already in a recession, what happened was that they came up with the concept of the Federal Reserve Bank. And the major players of that, let's go into them. You have Paul Warburg, all right? And Paul Warburg said, whoever controls the volume of money in any country is the absolute master of all industry and commerce.
Yes, sir.
Now, Warburg, that's the Jew. But Paul Warburg was one of the ones in which that became part of the families, the eight families in which that brought together the Federal Reserve Bank. Then, of course, you had Senator Nelson Aldrich. All right. You had Benjamin Strong. You had Frank Vanderlip. You had J.P. Morgan. And as a matter of fact, it was at J.P. Morgan's home on Jackal Island where this summit was held at for the construction of the Federal Reserve Bank. You have Henry P. Davison and Charles D. Norton. All right, and so those were the individuals, and of course, using this information as a base, in November of 1910, while meeting, you know, under the rules that they was going out and duck hunting, that was what they claimed they was doing. So all of them got together, and you know, and they broke down how this climate of all these banks, of which that was, that people was running to them and taking out their monies and. They was finding out that their accounts was closed and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. And they wondered, what could they do? So J.P. Morgan, you know, comes up with that concept. Now, there was an individual who did not go along with that concept, all right? And He was an Astor. It was Jacob Astor, as a matter of fact. And Jacob Astor happened to board a ship in which that was basically designed or put together by the funding of J.P. Morgan, and that was known as the Titanic.
Yes.
We know the Titanic sunk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it sunk, right? Iceberg, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Killing Jacob Astor and other influential individuals who did not agree with the centralization of the banking system. And Jacob Astor was a billionaire and could have rivaled J.P. Morgan, you know what I'm saying, his family line, that is, of the Astors, and could have rivaled J.P. Morgan, you know, in which that was very close to the Rockefellers, you know, John D. Rockefeller and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. So these were the hunters who came under this rule, who came under saying that, you know, that this is what they was doing was hunting. All right. I'm going to go over some of these names, but I'm going to give you the positions of these individuals now. And you had Senator Nelson Aldrich, who headed the R and RI, you know what I'm saying, and who headed up the National Monetary Commission, which was a congressional committee dedicated to developing ideas for a central banking system. Now, Frank Vanderlip, he was of the Rockefeller's National City Bank. Paul Warburg was of the investment for the Kuhn Loeb and Company, who was there to promote the German central banking system of Bismarck. Now, Charles Norton was of the First National Bank of New York, which was a Morgan company, and Davidson was a partner of J.P. Morgan. So from the start of this group proceeded, you know, into putting this together, and they did it covertly. So by 1916, Forbes discussed that Jackal Island and these individuals, matter of fact, they called it, check this out, this was the name of the book that B.C. Forbes put together. He called it Men Who Were Making America and Illuminates. Once again, Men Who Are Making America and Illuminates. So, of course, the word Illuminati.
Yeah.
So today, the finances of Frank and Harry and Paul and to another and the late senator remained that Nelson to them until his death. Now, check this out. In other words, they all said that they was going to coincide with this. They all agreed with it. So now Benjamin Strong came on a little later on, but there was a magazine article by Forbes in which that mentioned the conference, you know, who actually didn't mention the conference until actually 1930. With Paul Warburg's book, The Federal Reserve System, Its Origin and Growth. There was another book called Nathaniel Wright, Stephenson's book, Nelson W. Aldrich, A Leader in American Politics. All right, so these books came out. So basically, plain and simple, the Federal Reserve, as we know, is not part of the federal government. The Federal Reserve, it is not federal, and it does not have any reserves. In fact, it is no more federal than what? FedEx.
Exactly.
Right. It is a privately held corporation owned by stockholders.
Mm-hmm.
That is why the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and all others is listed on the Dun and Bradstreet Reference Book of American Businesses. Right. Northeast Region 1, Manhattan Bronx, according to Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution, only Congress supposed to have the right to issue money and regulate its value. So it is illegal for private interests to do so. Yet it's happened. And because of the provision in the Act, the Class A stockholders were to be kept secret and not to be known. So R.F. McMasters, who published a newsletter called The Reaper, through his Swiss and Saudi Arabian contacts, was able to find out which banks held a controlling interest in the reserve. Now, remember, we broke down to you that the individuals of these banks in which that was connected to the back of your Social Security card. Remember, we told you A through L, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So where they were located at, it was the Federal Reserve Banks. Now, check this out. Those interests control the Federal Reserve through about 300 stockholders. So the interest is controlled by 300 stockholders. The real owners of the Federal Reserve Banks and the federal system are, one, Rothschild Banks of London and Berlin, Lazar Brothers Bank of Paris, Israel Moses SIF Bank of Italy, Warburg Bank of Hamburg and Amsterdam, the Lehman Brothers Bank of New York. Now check out the Lehman Brothers. They filed, check this out, right before Obama came in 2008, they filed bankruptcy and they was able to get more money by becoming part of that deal in which that Obama put together for the $70 billion.
Mm-hmm.
What was that became known as? Y'all remember?
Yeah, it became known as the the back of my head too. It was the Obama it was the, oh man. You might as well go ahead and say it, but I can't get it out of my head.
All right. So this was the so-called the stimulus program.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You remember,
exactly.
The stimulus program was the issuing of $7 billion throughout the various systems, in particular corporations and the banking and mortgage companies and insurance companies was the main beneficiaries of that money. So we took out a deal from $700 billion from out of China, in which that actually comes $70 billion, from China, in which that actually comes up if you do what is called fractionalized banking. That actually comes up, which is inflation, that actually comes up to $700 billion that we have to pay back. Okay, I just want to make that clear. So you have the Rothschilds, the Lazar Brothers, Israel Moses, Warburg, the Lehman Brothers, Kuhn Loeb Company, Chase Manhattan Bank of New York, and Goldman and Sachs of New York.
And most of those are Zionists.
Exactly. So anyone who comes from Goldman and Sachs, such as Timothy F. Geithner, who was the last United States Secretary of Treasury, he was the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And he was affiliated with the Goldman Sachs, in which that was part of the former, all right, who was Paul, what's his name? The former United States Secretary of Treasury, who was part of Goldman Sachs. All right, that was Paul
Volcker.
Volcker was part of this too. All right, in which that this is how they come together in order to put the individual in place known as the head of the Federal Reserve Bank. All right, and we remember who was the head of the Federal Reserve Bank for a long time. You might not remember who's the director now. But he was in the news all the time, you know what I'm saying, before Obama came into office.
Mm-hmm.
And during the last years of Bush, all right? All right, y'all might remember his glasses.
Yeah.
What's his name?
His name was there I go again.
It's all right. You don't get it this time. You don't get it this time. I got you. I feel you. You don't get it this time.
Start with a G.
Nah, his name is Greenspan.
Oh, Alan Greenspan. Yeah.
There you go.
I knew it started with a G, right?
Another Jew. All right. He was the head of the Federal Reserve Bank for a long time, all right, during the Bush's administrations.
Greenspan.
Right? Right. Mean Spain, another Jew. So this is a Jewish consortium, better yet, a Zionist consortium. All right? So this is the manipulation of Jewish funding, money, fiat notes, etc. Mm-hmm. All right? So this is what's going on. So of the reported 2,053 shares of the New York Bank, the Rockefeller's National City Bank has 30,000 shares. Morgan First National Bank has 15,000 shares. Chase Manhattan National Bank has 6,000 shares, which, of course, that's Rockefeller again.
Right.
Matter of fact, Rockefeller National City Bank, Morgan First National Bank, Chase National National Bank, that is David Rockefeller, who's the founder of the Trilateral Commission. Right, who's the founder of the Trilateral Commission, 1973. Right, I'm doing a Steve Copley number tonight. I'm not playing.
All right.
So the National Banks of Commerce, Morgan Guarantee Trust has 21,000 shares. And as of June 15, 1978, the Senate report called Interlocking Directory amongst the major U.S. corporations revealed that the five biggest New York banks had 470 interlocking directors, all right, with 130 major U.S. corporations. In other words, it was all tied together. Citicorp, 97, J.P. Morgan, 99, Chase Manhattan Bank, 89, Manufacturers Hanover, 89, and Chemical Bank, 96. With David Rockefeller sitting at the helm, all right, who's the head of the Trilateral Commission, who's the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, and Bilderberger Meter, in other words, top Illuminati, all connected. All right? So we got to put that out there so y'all can go and do your research. You know, because, you know, if you don't believe me, get the book. It's called Secrets of the Temple, How the Federal Reserve Runs the Country by William Grider, G-R-E-I-D-E-R, Grider. So it's called, and it was a New York Times bestseller, Secrets of the Temple, How the Federal Reserve Bank Runs the Country. Now, according to Eunice Mullins, he states that these banks are major stockholders in the Fed. In his book, World Order, he said that these five banks are controlled from London. Mullins says that besides its controlling interest in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the Rockefellers have developed important financial interests in other parts of the United States. The entire Rockefeller empire was financed by the Rockefellers. No, excuse me. The entire Rockefellers empire was financed by the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said. And this is what Maya M. Rothschild said. He said, permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this is another Jewish consortium, as we were talking about. Maya M. Rothschild and John D. Rockefeller. Once again, John D. Rockefeller is being financed by Maya M. Rothschild.
Rothschild ain't no joke.
Exactly. All right. Matter of fact, they said Maya M. Rothschild, when he passed, he had $600 trillion in gold alone in just his basement. Now you know how he got that gold. You know how he got that gold is because he financed another individual who killed 25 million Africans. All right, in Zimbabwe, which was formerly known as Rhodesia.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
His name is Cecil Rhodes.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. And you ain't talking about Federal Reserve, no, you said gold.
Right, this is gold. Mm-hmm. Right, $600 trillion of gold in his basement alone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right.
Basement.
Right, in his basement.
Who can
mess
with that?
Basement.
Who can top that?
Exactly. That was a good question, brother.
That's a big basement, man.
Yeah.
That's something, isn't it? So it would be imperative that we also begin to start getting our hands on precious minerals. I mean, wouldn't that just make sense?
Yeah, definitely. That's the real wealth.
They're giving out, they keeping $600 trillion of real gold in their basements, but then issuing fiat notes, IOUs, promissory notes. for the peons can utilize.
And telling you to sell your gold for cash.
And they have set up pawn shops now to sell your gold and your silver. If any broken gold, please bring it on down. You get $200, $300, $400 for it. Come on now, come on, bring your goddamn gold on down here now and get this money.
Sell your gold for cash. The gold is the real wealth. What you getting back is the monopoly money. You ain't getting no money.
You're getting zero back.
Exactly.
You get monopoly money back. The gold is the money.
Right, but I don't think they believe it. So let's go to the Constitution. Constitution of the United States of America states Article 1, Section 8, CL.5. It says Congress shall have power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coins. Article 1, Section 10, CL.1 says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. So the only thing in which that can pay a debt is something of real substance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why the House Joint Resolution of 192 in 1933, June 5th, 1933, put together by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, put together this deal. That's what it's called, the New Deal.
Yeah.
And in this New Deal, gold would not longer back the note. No gold will back the note. And as a matter of fact, they made the people the enemy of the state for those who hoarded gold and silver. It wasn't until President Reagan signed into a position back around 1982, 83, that he gave the ability of being able to own gold or have gold again as a so-called U.S. citizen.
Hmm.
Now, of course, this never applied to us to begin with because we're not U.S. citizens to begin with.
Exactly.
So we should have been during the whole time, we should have been gathering money, real money, something of substance during this time period.
Yeah.
All right? Because we know what happened when you just build something and don't have anything of substance behind it. You get a rosewood. You get a Oklahoma greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, which is a bombing of 36... basically of 36 blocks of laundry mats, banks,
Black Wall Street.
Black Wall Street, right? Mm-hmm. What we call Black Wall Street. Who was on import and export business worldwide. Throughout the United States and worldwide, nationally and internationally.
Man.
But because they didn't have anything of substance behind it, or they might have had something of substance, but it was stolen, just like the gold was stolen in Iran. The gold was stolen in Libya. And we know this. Saddam Hussein, billions of dollars in gold missing.
Yep.
All right. Gaddafi,
Federal Reserve notes.
Gaddafi had billions of dollars of gold missing.
Yeah.
All right, so it's possible that we did have something of substance, but guess what? In no history book that I've ever read concerning Tulsa, Oklahoma, have they ever mentioned it?
Yeah, and they won't.
This is something that we probably need to talk about all right?
Yes.
There's an example of the fact that during the Ottoman Empire, before it ended in 1914, that there was a fact that we gave the Europeans $25 million in gold. Right, this has always been talked about amongst the Moors, that we gave them $25 million in gold. Now, of course, the value of that now is astronomical.
Yeah.
All right? We talking about in the late 1800s, early 1900s, with the end of the Ottoman Empire by 1914. By 1956, our flag was given back or stripped from us from being able to be flown here and given back to a country in which that now gained their freedom known as Morocco. But yet during the time when we was flying the flag here in the United States as Americans under Prophet Noble Ali, that flag was being flown during the years when they seen the rise of the Moors. The rise of the Moors came in 1913 with the Canaanite Temple coming into order. The same time J.P. Morgan's put together the Federal Reserve Bank.
Hmm.
Coincidence?
No, I doubt it was.
A year later, the Vatican puts together the Papal State, and they actually make the Catholic Church, the Vatican, a state within the confines, but yet separate as a body politic, a religious body politic, in Italy, in Rome.
So it's
in Rome, but it's separate as a religious body politic, and its own state. So as Rome is a state of Italy, as we would say, the Vatican is its own state called the Papal State, P-A-P-A-L, the Papal State. Coincidence? And this was done a year after the establishment of Prophet Noble Dry Lee, of him, Brother Emir, and Brother Solomon Muhammad put together the Canaanite Temple, known as the Old Canaanite Temple today, all right, May 1st, 1913. This is no coincidence.
Yeah, he was looking to count or something.
Right, so with the rise of the Moors, they seen the remnants of the connection pieces happening and taking place here. And then, of course, by 1928, with Prophet Noble Julie going to Havana, Cuba, we find that he was given documentation in which that showed that he owned, or it came from the bloodline in which that owned more than 3/4 of the land known as America. In particular, the 13 states was Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, on up into Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Missouri, Kansas, parts of Texas, Arizona, Colorado, as well as also several others. All the way up into the whole of Canada.
Yep.
This is why it's called the Moorish National Divine Movement of North America. Because Prophet Jali owns more than 3/4 as being the royal regent, being the Maison Rouge, the head of the Maison Rouge, which means that he was a prince, all right? A royalty of the royal bloodline of the Washington Turnica family of the Washington property known as the Louisiana Purchase. So being that he was tied to land, being that he had his nationalities, being a Moor, being that he had his religion, he was being recognized as a head of state or head of states at the Havana, Cuba, Pan American Conference.
Yeah, he doesn't wear that title noble just for show. That's the real deal.
Yeah.
Right, so no, there's no such prohibition against Congress or any delegate power to make anything legal tender. Congress was originally understood to have no power to make anything legal tender outside of the federal territory under Article 1, Section 8, CL. 17, and Article 4, Section 3, CL. 2. But in 1868, a United States Supreme Court pact by President Ulysses S. Grant in the legal tender cases allowed Congress to make money currency issued by the United States Treasury, backed by gold, legal tender on state territory, a precedent that remained controversial to this day when courts allow paper currency not backed by anything to be considered legal tender.
Yeah.
So that's how that came into play. So according to most Moorish historians, only about the first 10 amendments called the Bill of Rights apply to us. Right now, if you look up the 7th Amendment, it says the only money amount in the Constitution or as amendment is the 7th Amendment. Now, check this out. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by a jury shall be preserved. No fact tied or tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the laws or the rules of common law. So if you want to come under common law and if you want to be considered as a sovereign, how many pieces of silver do a Moor needs to have in order to declare themselves to be sovereign and to invoke common law or to seek civil remedy under Article 6, which is the treaties or the supreme laws of land? How many pieces of silver based on the 7th Amendment that we just read?
It will have to.
No, it says in suit that common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20. So that means there must be at least 20 silver dollar coins for more to declare themselves being sovereign. So you're just talking about you sovereign and don't have a silver bond certificate attached to your documentations that you have filed at the county recorder, you can't invoke common law, nor can you seek civil remedy under Article 6. Technically.
Wow. I got to get on that, man. Yeah, I got to get on that right away.
So you need $20 in silver coinage.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. So you're not sovereign until you do so. Because where do coins come from? Silver comes from out of where? The land.
Man.
Out of the land. Right?
Yeah. And notice what you read earlier. You said coin money. So the real money is the coins or the silver.
Right. Because it is actually what? Silver.
Money.
Gold. Copper. In other words, currency. In other words, that which produced current.
Yeah.
You take gold, silver, take copper, hook them up electrically, it will produce what? Current.
Energy.
And this energy is found in the ground. And the word more is synonymous to what word?
The land.
Yes. So hence, that's what? Sovereignty. That is your nationality. That's when you proclaim that. Otherwise, you just a Negro claiming to be sovereign, a Negro claiming to be a Moor. You don't have 20 pieces of silver, you can't declare yourself as such. because the currency, you have nothing to produce electromagnetic properties in the ground or to help you as a Moor. Most Moors, when they are intelligent, walk around with at least three pieces of silver in their pocket, mm-hmm. in which that is 99.9999% actual silver.
Yeah.
Wow. So you say you got to have copper also, huh?
Right. Any type, platinum, gold, silver, copper, anything in which that is produced as far as coinage, that's real substance. That's real money. And the word money stems from the word what?
Moneta. Moon, exactly.
Moneta, exactly.
That's
so,
where Moneta came from, moon.
Right. So, exactly. So, let's break that down. Esoterically, the word money originates from the English word moon and the Earth's natural satellite, which in the occult teaching symbolizes silver. Right or wrong?
Right.
Right.
And also in the occult symbolisms or teachings, yellow, which is the sun, symbolizes gold.
Yeah.
As in the yellow brick road. In the window.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on, break it down, boy.
This is not by accident. However, the noun moon is derived from the word moony, M-O-O-N-E, which was around about 1380 A.D. And that developed from the word monet, M-O-N-E, around 1135. AD, which derived from the Old English Mona, which dates back to 725 AD, which, like the Germanic languages, it ultimately stemmed from the Proto-Germanic Menano. And the word Menano, the word moon, influenced, as we know, the water tides of the earth and the watery fluids in the body, especially in the woman, her 28 days menstrual cycle. Phases of the moons every 28 days. Now, that means she symbolizes the silver principle or the feminine principle at best. The principle in moderate English, the adjective pertaining to the word moon is lunar, derived from the Latin word luna, which is, you know, of course, you know, the word lunatic or one who is driven crazy or mad, hence the lower self. So hence, this is why in 1 Corinthians, Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the love of money, not having money, because it's essential. All right? But when you become obsessed with the currency in which that is outside of you, instead of mastering the currency with inside of you, then that becomes evil.
Okay.
All right? But the word evil spelled backwards is the word live. And the thing in which that makes you live inside of you is this silvery, mercury-ish color substance known as the kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
Come on with it, boy.
And it's no coincidence that this is silvery, that this is also a silvery color also. As we know, mercury is silvery in color.
Yes.
All right. So, we understand this information, these sciences, but we want the people, the audience, to understand the realness of all of this because there's a lot of misinformation going out and is not being explained properly. And that's the problem. There's a good book called Coins and Paper Money, the fifth edition, written by Arlen Streber, all right, Arlen G. Streber, Coins and Paper Money, check that book out, and it goes into the information about the Coinage Act of April the 2nd, 1792, the Coinage Act of March the 4th, 1900, dollars defined, you look up the word dollar defined, dictionary and statutory definitions of money, 1856 through 1996, It says, excerpts from 1923 Congressional Records, states that the Federal Reserve and several large banks deliberately contracted to extend credit to the agricultural industry for the purpose of eliminating many farmers. So that's how they were able to eliminate the farmers in order to bring in the grocery store by the 1950s, because there was no grocery stores before the 1950s. Everybody ate off the land. So the Federal Reserve Bank is the one in which that set up these grocery stores in order to extort money and to eliminate the farmers. And they're still doing today with them passing Pacific congressional records or congressional bills, in which that states that the people no longer have the ability in order to sell their own products to each other. And they have, and they actually don't have the ability in order to even grow their own crops on their own land. And definitely not to sell to each other. So all laws are being passed, and we see how the Federal Reserve Bank played into that particular thing. And then, of course, the gold confiscation of April the 5th, 1933, as we was talking about by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, with the Joint House Resolution, or what's called the House Joint Resolution, 192, June 5th, 1933, in which that established paper-for-paper system. That's basically what it is, paper-for-paper. So now you can pay paper, you know, debt with paper. And you do that for, and you do that through a negotiable instrument, a promissory note. And the biggest promissory note and the biggest bond and the biggest chattel paper and the biggest warehouse receipt we went over last week, and we told you that's your birth certificate. Damn, I just gave you all the clues that you need. So money is debt voter. So check this out. It says revealing statements from public figures, Title 31, United States Code 5103 defines legal tender. This is what it says. You got to go and look that up. It defines it. But it says constitutionally applies to non-state U.S. territories such as federal enclaves created under Article 1, Section 8CL.17 or incorporated territories under Article 4, Section 3CL.2, this way, Virgin Islands, Guam, Puerto Rico, etc. That's where the Federal Reserve Bank actually has the ability in order to do their legal tender act, but not in the United States, as they recall it, which is actually of America. America is not of the United States. There's a difference. We spoke about before. That one has a superior position. The superior position is to that of America. And you look up the definition of America before 1937, it states that the aboriginal colored copper natives. So right there, they already showed you that that we are the money because we're copper colored.
Exactly.
You see that?
Yeah.
The word more means land. Here we are being described as copper color. Abraham Lincoln, who's a Moor, is put on a copper penny. And turned to the right because he was a Rosicrucian. As compared to those on the silver looking money, nickel, or you know, what looks like a nickel. Ain't none of that stuff, you know, real now, because before 1982, that's when you had real copper pennies. Now it's zinc and some other alloy. But neither is a nickel, a real made from nickel. Neither is a dime, quarter, half a dollar. None of these things now are actually high amounts of silver. A lot of it is copper and now mostly zinc alloy. You can go do your research on that information. You can see what I'm talking about. Right? So, go to the book called Antebellum Money Cases, including some Civil War legal tender cases compiled by Larry B. Craft. Get that book. Another good book is called Gold and Economic Freedom by Alan Greenspan. We just spoke
about
Alan
Greenspan.
Yeah, because before he became chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank, he had strong opinions, which he had never repudiated. And this is from a book in 1966 that he wrote. Right? So, Pieces of the Eight by Edwin Barrera. All right? What is a dollar? Historical analysis of the fundamental question in monetary politics, also written by Edwin. Trashing the Constitution, how misconstruction of the monetary powers and disability subvert the founding fathers' intent. That's by Edwin, too. Money.
What's his name?
Edwin Vieira. V-I-E-I-R-A. V-I-E-I-R-A. So those are the three pieces of the eight. What is a dollar? Trashing the Constitution. All right. Money, Issues, Memorandum of Law by Larry B. Craft. A Caveat Against Injustice or an Inquiry into the Evils of Fluctuating Mediums of Exchange by Roger Sherman. All right. And the Tender Clause of the United States and the Moneta. The Moneta.
Mm-hmm.
Right, demonator, which means the money. All right. These
do
are,
you have any books? To interrupt you, do you have any of these books in your library?
Yes, I do.
Store. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have some of these. I don't have all of them.
But some of them. Okay.
Some of these you probably will have to go to the actual Library of Congress, or go to a good library. Or have them order it if possible.
Okay.
Okay.
Jekyll Island book, you definitely get it. You probably can get that anywhere.
Definitely get that. Definitely get that Jekyll Island book. You need
yeah.
Because that put you on point about this information that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It will put a person on point, you know.
Okay. Yes, you were speaking about the Vatican being a separate state within a state from Rome, Italy, and the rest of the country in Italy. You were right on the money about that. And
yeah.
Also...
Go ahead, Al.
Yes, in England, a lot of people don't know that they have London, and then you have Greater London,
right.
Which is also a separate state within London, England.
Right.
In England itself, like the Vatican and Rome, which is,
yeah.
I think, the citizens, I think, a little bit over 5,000.
Right. Well, let's go to some more books, because I love this shit.
Yeah, the books.
Because this is where we mess them up every time, because we come with scholarship. So, Exhuming of a Nation, the biography of Nobodu Ali, written by Swift Angel, Elihu Pleasant Bay, Montauk, The Book of the Dead by Peter Moon. And what they break down is that, getting back to Roosevelt, he was sworn into the United States presidency January the 1933 and wasted no time in getting started with the bankruptcy. And the United States bankruptcy was expressed in Franklin Delano Roosevelt Executive Order number 6073 and 6111 and 6260. Now, you can go and get the United States Senate reports on this under the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917. So they made us enemy of the state.
Hmm.
And that was codified by the United States Code, Title 12, Section 95A, and the House Joint Resolution 192, June 5th, 1933, confirming in Perry versus United States 1933, a case citing that 294 United States 330-381 and United States Code, Title 31, Section 5112, and 5119, and it says that Roosevelt immediately shut down the banks during the banking holiday and proceeded to pull out all the gold out of circulation while replacing it with a debt currency tender IOU. And the United States is basically, y'all know that the United States is paying tribute to the Moors. And they to repay that $25 million in gold loan that we made with the United States government in 1861.
Hmm.
So the United States Congress is responsible to repay, which is right, the seat of the Moors, the all-seeing eye, that pyramid, is on the back of that dollar bill.
Yeah. Great steal, the Moors.
Right. Yeah. That's the remembrance of them having to pay us that $25 million of gold loan. Now, for those people who don't understand what the hell I'm talking about, you go to the book United States and Robbery Powers by David Magnucci. And he says in the book that the United States, England, English, French, Dutch, Dane, and Sweden, and I may say all nations are tributaries to the Moors. Once again, David Magnucci. Now, this is what he said. The European nations paid tribute to the Moors well into the 19th century. And David Magnucci proves this in his book, United States and Barbary Powers. He said, United States, English, French, Dutch, Danes, and Swedes, and I may say all nations are tributaries to the Moors.
Hmm. Yeah.
Are they still alive today?
Yes. David Magnucci goes further. Check this out. In his book, Ancient and Moderate Britons, Volume 1 and 2, he states, the Moors have controlled the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. This is why the United States Marines sang defeating the Moors from the halls of Montezuma, which is Mexico, to the shores of Tripoli, which is in where? Gaddafi.
Libya.
In Libya, exactly. Confirming in the extent of the Moorish Empire or the dominion of a Mexican or Atlantis. The United States is not a nation nor a nationality. Only American is, and who was defined as Americans before the 1950s as being such was the copper-colored natives. That's it. You take a pin, put it next to my skin, your skin, Brother Olabala, your skin, Brother L, and we match.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so we know who this is talking about. So the United States is of America, but America, Al Barak, is not of the United States, meaning one has these period positions that I've been talking about. Nevertheless, American is a nationality. And this is why Noble Dali said, I need all support from all true American citizens of the United States of America. Help me to save my people who have fallen from the constitutional law of the government, which is in what? His divine warning by the prophet for the nation, by Prophet Noble Dali. He did not say United States citizen. He said the United States of America, and he called us what? American citizens, or true American citizens.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Not U.S. citizens, there's a difference. U.S. citizens or corporate citizens.
It's a corporation, exactly. Exactly. And this is the law, SCR 1795, Penn Hollow versus Dow Administrators, 3 United States 51. And it says this is a United States Supreme Court that they was trying to hide. But check this out. It says United States Court of United States 1795 said, inasmuch as every government is an artificial person, an abstraction, or a creature of the mind only, a government can interface only with other artificial persons.
Mm.
So this is how they was able to make us into Stromius Homo, which is the straw man. Your name spelled in all caps, because they cannot function with interaction with natural persons, which is indigenous.
No. Right.
So they had
two persons.
Your name had to be spelled in all caps on paper, chattel property, chattel paper. So the imaginary, however, neither actuality nor substance is foreclosed for creating and obtaining parity with the tangible. So in other words, being that you are attached to that particular document known as that bond, which is that word bondage, that birth certificate, you not pay for anything in which that transpires attached with that birth certificate. So if you commit a crime, then we know that within all crimes are civil, and there is a amount attached to each offense. Murder is $4 million.
Yeah, that's why they say they're going to charge you with a crime. Charge you.
And they ask you, do you understand the charges? And they ask you, do you understand the charges being brought up against you?
Yeah, it's a charge.
The deal with entity.
It's a charge. Right. You understand the charges being brought up against you? And, of course, any good person who understands law, they would say emphatically no. I do not understand the charges being brought up against me because, number one, I'm not a U.S. citizen, according to Dress Back case. So, therefore, this court lacks jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Number two, what venue is this? Is this common law venue or is this admiralty venue? I need to know that if you want this case to proceed, then I will have to be able to go into the proper venue. So I can know if I'm going to deal with constitution, which is common law, if I'm going to deal with contracts, which is admiralty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you say you understand, you actually stepping into the jurisdiction, you're hanging yourself.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. And that now you become responsible for the bond on which that they attach to you. And there's three bonds, the big bond, performance bond, and the payment bond.
Yeah. And it's so subtle how they do it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's so subtle. It sounds, you know, I mean, just by hearing that, you would think, oh, yeah, I understand. But you don't even realize that you're hanging yourself.
Right. Just tell them, just no, I do not stand under you in this matter.
Exactly.
I don't understand. I do not understand.
Said, no, I do not stand under you.
Exactly. Not stand under you. Exactly. So, there's another good one called Hell versus Hinckley, 201 United States 43 at 47, which was in 1905. And check this out now. This judge said there is a clear distinction in this particular case between an individual and a corporation. And the latter has no right to refuse to submit its books or papers for examination at the suit of the state. So a corporation can't refuse books and papers. It says the individual, however, may stand up for his constitutional rights as a citizen, all right, or as a non-citizen, as long as he's a national. He is entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. His power to contract is unlimited. That's what the Constitution states, too. He owes no such duty to the state since he received nothing therefrom. So if you're not receiving any benefits from the state, in other words, if you're not on welfare, if you're not on social services, if you're not disability, if you're not receiving anything, then it makes it easier for you to disattach yourself from this corporate fiction that they have set up.
Yeah, it does.
He's entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. His power to contract is unlimited. He owes no such duty to the state since he receives nothing thereof, but therefrom, beyond the protection of his life and property. His rights are such as extend by the law of the land, long antecedent to the organization of the state, and can only be taken from him by due process of law in accordance with the Constitution. Amongst his rights are the refusal to incriminate himself, which is Amendment 5, and the immunity of himself and his property from arrest and seizure, except under a warrant of law, which is Amendment 4. He owes nothing to the public so long as he does not trespass upon their rights. Upon the other hand, the corporation is a creature of the state. It is presumed to be incorporated for the benefit of the public. It receives certain special privileges and franchises and holds them subject to the law of the state and the limitations of the charter. Their powers are limited by law. It can make no contract not authorized by its charter. Its rights to act as a corporation are only preserved to it so long as it obeys the laws of its charter. Okay.
Yeah. See, so, I draw disability, you know.
Right.
But,
I understand. But you have something on the documentation. You have something already on record in which that state, you have a denial of corporate status. You also right, and you also have a negative overt name.
Yeah.
And you have an affidavit of facts and an affidavit of truth in which that bears witness to your nationality and your citizenship, that you are Washington.
Right. They got the Social Security Administration guys has all copy of those.
Right.
Copies
so
of those.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So here it says the United States of America Incorporated. Check this out. Now you go to Delaware Corporation, incorporation date 4/19/89. This is the file number 2193946. It says that the United States Incorporated is a religious nonprofit organization. This is in the Delaware site of the IRS. And guess what they say? They said it's not good standing. So the United States of America Incorporated is not in good standing.
Wow.
Now, check this out. The definition of the United States. Now you can go and check this out. This is in title codes now. It says the definition of the United States. Title 15, United States means A, federal corporation, B, an agency, department, commission, board, or any other entity of the United States. Or an instrumentality of the United States. So what is the United States? It's a federal corporation, an agency, a department.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the only way that the government can actually mess or gain jurisdiction over a natural person, which is i.e. an indigenous person, is by you contracting with them and letting them transfer you or transform you into a or cap letter name or into a corporation.
Uh-huh.
Without you having any backup whatsoever on the public record. Now, this is something good because you get the book, Count Voni's book. He's the author of The Ruins of Empires, and it was translated by Joel Barlow, 1750 to 1812. He himself was an American statesman, and he was well known for drafting the Islam, a pleasing treaty of Tripoli. Now check this out.
Mm.
In which that stated that the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. Now this is in the Treaty of Tripoli, the 8th Statute 154. This is in the Treaty of Tripoli now, written by translated by Joel Barlow. And he states that the United States of America is not in any sense founded on a Christian religion. So where they got all this Christian shit from? Every president got to come along since Bush to say that they Christian. When everyone knows that they should recognize the United States is Morocco, which was an Islamic country.
That's right. That's what the American citizen is, Moroccan.
Al Moroccan.
Another one is saying Moroccan, Al Moroccan.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. American, Al Moroccan. And that's the reason why the Europeans can't be Al Moroccans, because they're not colored copper natives.
That's right, Aboriginal. You can't be, you're not Aboriginal.
Right, you're not Aboriginal here.
They still trespass.
That's why this bullshit about sovereign citizens is bullshit, because the only way you can be sovereign is if you're from the land and tied to the land. Because if you're from England, Ireland, from any other country from Europe, then that's where you can go and find sovereignty at. You can't find sovereignty in a country, in a land in which that you do not originally belong to, and you do not have ancestral ties to. Your ancestral to those countries in which that you claim that you are from. You ask a European their history, and they will tell you, oh, I'm Ireland. I'm from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm from England. I'm from Belgium. I'm from Romania. I'm from, okay, well, all of that is over there.
Yeah.
That's not
when you say, you know, when you say sovereign, you
right.
definitely talking about nation and nationality, so, you know. So
right.
just by you saying sovereign or sovereignty, you're talking about a nation or a nationality. So that connects with that. So you can't just throw that word out there by itself and think that means something, you know.
Exactly.
But soon you say that you that connects with the words nation and nationality.
Exactly. The only way that a European consider sovereign is he come to those who are the indigenous people of this land and gain a title of sovereignty. He can be titled sovereign, but he cannot be sovereign because he's not of this land mass.
Right.
I have
discussions with certain brothers that are Moors and try to almost debate with a man that they're not sovereigns. They're title sovereigns.
Exactly.
Repeat that again.
Right. They're not sovereign. They're title sovereigns. And actually, they're not even title sovereign because they haven't asked permission from those who head organization, nation.
Okay.
Now, this is what? The United States is a religious corporation now managed by the Queen of England and under the control of the Vatican. The Pope's laws are obligatory on everyone. If you read Benedict 14 from out of their particular book, I think it's called the Synods, Dionysus, and it says syllabus, proper, or property 28, 29, and 44. Therefore, all said Moors contracting with the United States, all right, or USA, or corporate property, or chattel property of the Vatican. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to www.manta.com website, which is owned by Dun & Bradstreet. And you can go and do your research. And if you research the private corporations called the United States of America, you will find that the owner is listed as being Archbishop Derek J. McLeod of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception out of Washington, D.C. In other words, the Archbishop of the Vatican. And since the archbishops of the Vatican are sworn to poverty, then the archbishop can only be named agent of the secular so-called Roman Empire situated in the city state called the Vatican or Papal States. And according to the elements of Ecclesiastical Law 20, the Pope can abolish any laws in the United States. And the reason why is because it is now a religious corporation or a said Christian society now. Since 4/19/1989.
Huh.
My birthday, I might add. That was my birthday that they did this shit on.
Oh,
man.
Right? In 1989, I was 21. I came mature at that age, and at the same time, on my birthday, they filed as a religious organization, United States of America Incorporated. Now, you can go and get this information, which I'm talking about. There's a brother of the Yamasees, two brothers from the Yamasees, who is dropping this information. You can go and check them out, which that they talk about this. All right? So, this is why we have to get into this, because we see all these connection pieces here. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, for those who understand, once again, who Noble Drolley was, he's the son of Corella Turnica, the sister of Prophet Noble Drolley. All right. That's who Prophet Noble Drolley is, the son of Eliza Turner and John Drew, who was a Kitman or Quitman, which is a Cherokee. Okay, full-blooded Cherokee. All right, so in the oral statements and prophecies of Prophet Noble Drolley, he states that the Moors are the offsprings of kings and queens. This is what he said. The Moors are the offsprings of kings and queens. Now, this makes sense because if you go to Return of the Serpents of Wisdom, written by Mark Amaru Pinkham. He has your name on the bottle.
That's right. I got that book.
Oh, yeah, man.
He stays in there. Now, this is an amazing thing. He states in there that the original inhabitants, the indigenous people of this land who we know are the Americans, our Moroccans, he said that this land was known as the land of the immortals. And that the word Amaru Ka, means the serpents of wisdom.
That's right.
Mm.
And that this is the land of the immortals, the land of the immortals, meaning that the Moors are the offsprings of kings and queens.
Right. Kings.
Okay. And this royal imperial bloodline has never been broken. And it comes by way of the Washita, which is the last name Washington now, and Turnica, which is the last name Turner now. So if you related to any Washington and any Turners, you would see that the only ones in which that have these particular names are so-called black people, Moors. White people do not have the names Washington or Turner.
Like Denzel Washington.
Is that?
Yeah.
Denzel Washington.
Exactly.
Nat Turner.
Exactly.
Right. Nat Turner.
And that's why he was giving a Nat Turner lick. Because he like, oh, you don't suck my shit.
Serious business.
Yeah. It's amazing when you drop the science on us that the nations of the world giving tribute to the Moors.
Mm-hmm.
If the people, I'm saying they're Moors, but they're not nationalized Moors, if they just wake up and just really see really how important they are to the world, to the rest of the world. But the rest of the world, like China and everybody else, is just waking for the rest of our people to wake up.
Right.
That's what they're waiting on. But I don't think they're going to wait too much longer, though.
Right. And this is the reason why they give tribute to Brother L, because the Prophet Noble Jali actually gave up the story. He told the Moors that the Europeans went to the Moroccan government, remember, and asked for permission to come over here to America to develop this land. And they were given a 50-year mandate to do so. So we leased them the land every 50 years. Then the Europeans went to the old sheik and asked him to give them some people to help them to develop this land. And the sheik told them to take those Moors because they were not doing anything. So this is a direct reference to the Treaty of Peace and Friendship between Morocco and the United States.
That's what I was going to ask you. Man.
Right.
No wonder it's the longest. But no wonder it's the longest treaty in the history of the world.
You got it. That's the key.
Really, it's to benefit the European more than it do us.
Exactly, because it gives them a 50-year extension every time that it is signed. And notice that in the 1980s, the Prince of Morocco was not going to sign it. And he ends up getting killed in a boating accident. You can look this shit up, too. Okay? Yeah, yeah. So you notice we're not playing tonight. We're giving it all up. Y'all better soak it up.
Yeah.
Right?
And get it back.
Some more, they say some people ain't ready. You're giving them too much. They ain't ready for certain knowledge yet.
Real simple. For those who ain't ready, close your ears. For those who are, stay your ass online.
Or take the blue pill, right? In the Matrix, take the blue pill. You know,
right.
Take the blue pill. Yeah. But if you're ready to hear this shit, take the red pill.
Yeah, you know, and getting back to what you were saying about the Cherokee and those that most people think are Indians, they were Moors. So as far as watching the Lone Ranger and thinking Johnny Depp, you know, people that look like Johnny Depp are the ones, no, they look like us.
Yeah.
You know, they look like, you know, Dr. Aleem, you know, so, you know, they look like you.
Yeah.
So I think that they did that movie to throw us off, too, because why now? Why do something like that now?
Exactly.
You know, they keep trying to throw us off. Oh, Johnny Depp. Oh, okay. So we don't have a reference point. Oh, no, that's you.
Yes.
They were not Indian. They were Moors.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. I had my portrait of my great-great-grandma's mother sitting in my lap, and this European woman, looking at the portrait, then she looked at me. Then she looked at me, then she looked at the portrait. Then she looked at the portrait and looked at me again. And I turned my head around like, horror. But I never asked her, why was she doing that? Because I guess she was seeing that both of us was the same.
Exactly.
Yeah. She saw a lot of me in her.
Right.
Yeah, this is a lot.
I mean, if you saw it, Bala La Bala, you asked Bala Aleem, you know she was a Moor.
Yeah.
Or what they call so-called Native Americans.
Yeah, but well, why would you be holding the portrait of her? I mean, that was something personal.
Yeah, I was getting ready to take a portrait picture, and there were other people there. And some of the photographer asked me, you know, he asked me, who is that? I said, that's my great-great-grandmother. Oh, so you must be Indian. I said, no, I'm Moor. You know, so the other people taking their pictures, and I was just sitting there, you know, with the portrait in my lap, you know, waiting for my turn. You know, I had my fez on. Brother Aleem can tell you I'd have my fez on.
Yeah.
To get me to take the portrait. And this European woman was sitting across from me, and she kept looking at me in the portrait. I mean, kept looking, you know, like she couldn't hardly take her eyes off of me and the portrait of my great grandmother.
Yeah, powerful.
Like she was startled.
She can't.
Yeah, I could just imagine the portrait. And then looking at the portrait, you know, I know she looked powerful in the picture, like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
She does.
You know, yes, she did.
Yeah, of course she did. Because, think about what our ancestors went through. You know, you look at certain people, you could see that they have wisdom. You know, they enlighten people, you know. And some people have, you can almost see their auric field around them. You know, certain people, and feel their energy when you come in their presence. You know, you even got to ask them one thing, you know. You know, so definitely, you know.
Yeah.
Just like I was explaining in the other show, my cousin told me her aunt said that we're related to Geronimo. And I look at the picture of Geronimo, and I look at my grandfather, because, you know, that's on his side, you know, my mother's father, and I could see my grandfather in him. As I look at him, I'm like, okay, I see the cheek, the chin, the jaw, you know, the bone structure in his face. I could see it. My grandfather's brothers have wavy long hair, and I used to look at them like, "What's up with these brothers?" You're like, "What's up? Why the hair so long?" You know,
get some pictures of them more. Get, you know, go to a photo, a photography studio. And then just get up, you know, stand by them and take a picture with them. You know.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, they made a transition. They transitioned, but you know, I could always find that because my grandfather, he was a photographer. You know, he got a lot of pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, so I could put it together. You know how we can do that now with technology and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, But definitely. But the key thing is, what we were saying before, when you were saying subject to, people don't realize when they hear that word subject to what that means.
Right.
So when you hear on the train, all bags are subject to random search.
Subject to.
Yeah. You don't want to be subject to
no.
anything. Yeah.
Especially not the government.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing that people have to understand what that means, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're under the jurisdiction. You're their slave. You're their property.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. you know, and so when they talk about the 14th Amendment about the rights, they're talking about civil rights, which are granted privileges, just like you said.
Right.
Exactly. Anything after the 10th Amendment is void. Any of the 19th Amendment as dealing with women, you know, well, then in that case, then women never did have a right to vote.
Yeah.
If that's the case. You know, I was wondering why President Babe was talking about the 19th Amendment so much in his book, Exhuming of a Nation.
Right.
But that's what he was talking about, the 19th
right.
Amendment. And he said these women don't have these rights like they think they do.
Right.
Because now they had... now they have the certain state of gay marriage. And then, then when they said under the 14th Amendment, I said, oh, boy. I said, no, they don't. They tricked them. They just kindly tricking these people. And the majority of the people of this country really don't know that after the 10th Amendment, there are no more real amendments.
Right.
They don't know.
Right.
They just don't know.
Exactly.
I talked to I went to visit my aunt today in a hospital, and I talked. Her name was Chinese, and I asked her. As a second Chinese person I talked to, and I asked her. I said, when you sign documents and applications, when they ask you what is your race, do you put yellow there? Then she said no. She frowned up no, like the other one did. I talked to, and she said no. Those are colors. Those are not people. People are not colors. That's what she said.
Exactly.
So, see, they know this is a fiction.
Exactly. So, what the hell happened? Black on our certificate, right?
Huh?
And that's the reason why you have to ask. Why in the hell do they have black on our birth certificates?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people got Negro.
Yeah.
Yeah, those in which that is my mother age, which is around 70, some have Negro, and even beyond that, some have colored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, they and that told me, and that backs everything what we talk about. The nights, the preceding nights, and tonight, as we speak now, it shows that we know what we're talking about. You know,
right.
That stuff is real. You know, it's man is real as night and day is itself. You know,
right.
This is not a whole lot of hot air we talking. You know,
no.
So when are these people going to wake up?
They want to march their way out of this. They want to march their way.
Yeah. They want to pay for those marches. The people who they are marching against.
Yeah,
they're getting paid at the same time. Man, that's wild.
Paying for security, which is the police force, because they pay for security when they rented the space.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? Man, you know.
when they cursing out the police officers, they cursing out their security guards that they hire for the day.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, how rude can they be, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Rude. They doing security for you and you cursing them out. What's going on? You hired them.
Sure did.
And wonder why they mad at you.
Yeah, man, you hired me, you know, man. Why, you know, you put
that
bit on.
They don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Hey, you thought you did something.
Yeah, people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, they never tell the people about the term black or African American.
Right, there's four Negroes that they always throw up in our faces. You got Jesse Jackass, or Messy Jesse, or Messy Jesse, as Dr. Collie referred to him as. Al Sharpton, Mr. Do himself. You know, you lost all that weight, but goddamn, that he got a bobblehead now for real. Okay. He do got something on the brain now. He got something on his mind for real that he need to say to someone.
So
that dome is humongous. If you see a picture of him now, that he ain't nothing but head.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, so he comes out when you get slapped. He comes out because you got to get slapped first.
Right. Exactly.
When you get slapped,
exactly.
He comes out.
Right. Then you have,
why you
then
slapped
you have,
him?
Right. Then you have the Harvard professor who says 100 billion big words, but yet nothing in which I've seen concrete.
Mm-hmm.
What is his name?
Nothing.
He's talking about Cornell West.
Thank you. You got it. And then, of course, you have Eric Michael Dyson. Or Michael Eric Dyson.
Oh, he's going to rhyme his way. He's going to rhyme the thing. Talking about Tupac.
Right.
And then going.
Right. And his slick, fast talking ass. So you have these four Negroes who they always throw up in your. And neither one, and none of them, even though they know, you know, Al Sharpton knows and Jesse Jackson knows about Moorish information. I've seen them with pictures with their fezzes on. I've seen them down there on Dr. York's land before in the mid to late 90s. They have yet said anything. So obviously that's the secret, you know what I'm saying, is not to build that nationality portion because that ends their manipulation job. That ends them being able to acquire money from these particular corporations as shakedown money. That's how they say Jesse Jackson made his money. Wonder how Jesse Jackson, who has never had a job in his life, never held a political position, never been in the church, never held a church position, never ever as a minister, reverend, pastor, bishop, or etc., but yet is a millionaire, multimillionaire.
Well, he's a reverend, so he's a 501c3, so he's not paying taxes. He set up a little. He set up the organization, which is taxes them.
Mm-hmm. Right, he set up Rainbow. But guess what? Do they exist outside of Chicago?
Well, you can just do that on paper. It don't really mean nothing. We've been talking about corporations all this show.
Exactly.
It's only on paper.
It's only on paper, exactly. So this is the thing that is taking place, right? But this is what we're trying to expose the people to, is to go and do their research, and you will find out that these individuals they always put in front of us, and these are the four same damn individuals that they always bring in front of us. Just notice that. Always the same four individuals. Anything happens, CNN goes to the same niggas.
Yeah, you got to get slapped first.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know, somebody got to get killed, and then they come out because they get paid off the nigger problem.
Yes.
Off the nigger industry, exactly. That's how they get paid.
Yeah,
off the nigger industry.
Yeah. While they know that we all are Moors, and they wear fez when they go to their lodge meeting because they know what time it is.
Right, they Masons and Shriners themselves, exactly.
Of course, they know what time it is.
Oh, yeah.
So stop playing. Stop playing.
Exactly. So for those who want to know more information, go to our website, www.draleenelbay.com, www.draleenelbay.com. That's D-R-A-L-I-M-E-L-B-E-Y www.drleenlbay.com. Go to the website. Go to United Washitour's history. Go to United Washitour Reclamation Process. Go to the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World. Find out more information concerning this information that we're dropping on you tonight. You're not going to find it anywhere on the radio this far, in depth, and exposing what's really happening, what's going on, and correlating it back to you. All right, that's the key. We correlate this information back to you, you know what I'm saying, as being a real American. All right, otherwise, you know, we can bleach that out and then we just give you some old hollering shit like, you know, Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm. You're frustrated, you know, because you don't have a remedy for the problem. So the only thing you can do is get frustrated and get mad and want to hurt somebody. But when, if you feel that, if you know that you got a way out of it, then you'll be a little more calmer and you just work towards the solution. Rather than just, you know, me huffing and puffing and slamming stuff down, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And for those who want to plan, ask questions, the number is 626-414-3535. Call in, ask questions, 626-414-3535. All right, we're getting ready to go to a commercial / song. This is my man, Nate, New World. And when we come back, we'll go to questions and answers and closing statements.
Yeah.
All right.
Revolutionists came without blood stains. What you live for is certainly what you die for. Resonates in your inner core forevermore. See, nothing's new under the sun. Life is a cycle. Past lives had to fight for survival. Most are still disciples and slaves to their master. If you can't see the problem, you won't find the answer. A wise man knows that he doesn't know everything. World wars reach your doors over melanin or resources. The greatest fight is within. The change starts with you to escape this worldly sin. I understand not everybody's on the same page. It's a lonely road to see this plan engage. So I stay strong for what's next to come. I ain't afraid to start the change. It only starts with one.
All it takes is one word, one event, one verse to change people's mentality so we can heal the earth. No more war, no more hurt, no more fire, no more curse, no more killing, no more humans living in reverse. All it takes is one word, one event, one verse to change people's mentality so we can heal the earth. No more war, no more hurt, no more fire, no more curse, no more killing, no more humans living in reverse. All it takes is one action to cause a mass reaction. How can you live in this world and show no compassion? We need to bun distractions, heal the world like Michael Jackson. So we teamed up again alongside global faction. Listen up, you might find your purpose through these rhymes. My mission is simple, it's to help these youth to shine. Cause now they get left to die in these heartless times. It really makes me sad cause they got no value for life. We need to play our part cause fools idols are chatting far. Keeping our young people negative, stuck in the dark. We need that instant spark to help us to kickstart. That integrity that runs all throughout our hearts. It's time to rise up and demand a conclusion. If you don't, you will get lost in the land of illusion. Try to overstand and filter out pollution. It only takes a single thought to start a revolution. All it takes is one word, one event, one verse to change people's mentality so we can heal the earth. No more war, no more hurt, no more fire, no more curse, no more killing, no more humans living in reverse. All it takes is one word, one event, one verse to change people's mentality so we can heal the earth. No more war, no more hurt, no more fire, no more curse, no more killing, no more humans living in reverse.
Be honest, cause not everybody is gonna make it. Cause some are content and too comfortable within this matrix. They say change's gonna come, but I'm losing patience. Sam Cooke said that in 64, but this is still enslavement.
Since then, tell me, what has really changed? Maybe the technology, but we are still slaves. We need to break free, we need to get away, create a new world so we can see better days. And I ain't talking about no new world orders, I'm talking about the world filled with people without any borders, without any hatred, without any racists. A world without politicians to separate us. That is what we want, that is what we need. A world filled with beauty but without the beast. We need a new world of justice, peace and righteousness. Thoughts don't die, so don't be frightened on what the future brings.
All it takes is one word, one event, one verse to change people's mentality so we can heal the earth. No more war, no more hurt, no more fire, no more curse, no more killing, no more humans living in reverse. All it takes is one word, one event, one verse to change people's mentality so we can heal the earth. No more war, no more hurt, no more fire, no more curse, no more killing, no more humans living in reverse.
All right, so we're going to go to the closing remarks. I don't have anyone online. That's what I was looking at here. So let's go into closing remarks. Brother Olabali, you got anything that you want to close with concerning the lack of summary of what we've gone over tonight?
Well, the bottom line is, you know, and I always say this, you know, basically, you know, a lot of people at this present time, you know, as far as the Trayvon Martin case and plenty of other cases that's coming up, you know, people are very frustrated and they see that there's no justice and they seem like it's, you know, they see there's no way out of this situation, but there is a way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, and personally, I believe that that's a ploy in order to make us have to search for a way out.
Well, yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because in a lot of ways, it could have possibly been that Trayvon thing could have possibly been a hoax. If there's a new video YouTube out now in which that goes into how there's no death affidavit or report for Trayvon Martin.
Sure.
You know, and another thing in which that is happening. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we need to investigate before we start lending our emotion, to those in which that is controlling the situation. That's why it's called mind control, because someone is utilizing your mind and controlling it at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's ways of dealing with, you know, different situations, but you can't deal with it as a U.S. citizen, as a corporate citizen, 14th Amendment citizen, which are all the same thing,
right.
And must proclaim your Moorish nationality. If you don't have an understanding of that, you know, you have to do your own personal studies, but this is why we set up these different ways of gaining information, like the blog, talk shows, websites. So keep tuning in and, you know, keep on studying. And I will plug this as well. You can also come to Facebook /Moorish Divine and National Movement. This is our Facebook. Facebook group that we set up to, you know, connect on Facebook online, you know, which is a public forum. And when we have, you know, different things coming up, we can post information about that. So tune in to that as well, you know, plug in to Facebook/MorrisDivineInternationalMovement. This is our group. So I'll leave you with that.
All right. Appreciate you, Brother Olo Bob, coming on tonight, my co-host. And Brother L, any closing remarks?
Yes. As soon as I get a really hang of that, how to deal with the internet and the computers and everything, I will tune in to you, brother, on Facebook. And you will be hearing from me.
Yes, sir. Oh,
yeah. Right.
And I will, and Brother Aleem, I will contact you soon about some silver, to acquire some silver from you, $20 worth of silver from you. And we'll talk about that later.
All right. And all right. And for those who want to know more about that, the coins, we have everything posted on the website also. If you go to www.draleemelbey.com, that's DraleemElbey, draleemelbey.com, you would see that we sell coins such as copper coins, silver coins, gold coins. And check us out, you know. The prices are good, reasonable, and we're going to go to the phone line right now with a question. This is area code 99, area code 99, you're on. Peace.
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 Area code 919, you're on the line. Come on in.
Peace, can y'all hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
We got
peace.
What's going on, Dr. Aleem? How y'all doing?
All right.
Well, I just had a quick question. I didn't mean to put my hand up so late. Like, Dr. Aleem, is there a way to, like, contact with you or, like, set up a consultation or something with you? Do you, is it my understanding that you can assist everybody or, you know, assist more as they're trying to get on the right path or whatever?
Exactly. No doubt about it. Give us a call at 910-364-9099. That's 910-364-9099.
All right. Is there a best time to contact you?
You can do it tomorrow between 11 and 7.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. That's all I wanted to know. My name is Madison. I'll be getting with you, Dr. Aleem.
Appreciate you, guard, for checking this out. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Peace.
So, getting ready to head out. And it's my man Nas and Damian Marley with Patience. And we're going to see you all here Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. First World Order Radio will be here. And we will have our co-host, Brother Olabala, and also Brother Grand Sheik, Brother R.L., and both of them will be with me as well in the building with First World Radio, and we will be going over more in-depth information. And you know, we're the best listening sounds. You know what I'm saying? Not we're not WBLS, but we are the world best listening sounds. All right, so so check us out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This one right here is for the people. Let's go all the way in on this one.
Some of the smartest dummies can't read the language of Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving dummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee, them a make big money. This is how the media pillages on TV, the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images. And this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on and all of a sudden you are there in the Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see, and it's all that will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them are gonna flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that sends in my soul and I will forever own, Lord. Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser? Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have thought lost. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to seek of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Tell us teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you resign? Can you restart? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds?
Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruin. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw so over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. A fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang.
Peace. First of all, for the radio, be out.
I need to make fun of you.